This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
I mean, I know they lost two games, so you don't want to like walk in there on a losing streak or whatever, but do I really want to play three games in 3 days? Not really.
I have this weird suspicion it's going to be like oddly competitive, because I think all these guys are just going to be wired. Like, they're going to buy into the whole winning the SEC is going to be harder than winning the tournament.
Sure.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we get into the list, get through some free agency talk and a few other things, including we got our March Madness announcers as well as the 25 biggest stars of college basketball of the century. We'll talk about that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up. Tiger Woods. All right, we just got the announcement on Twitter, Tim. Ah, boy. As I begin to ramp up my own training and practice at home, I felt a sharp pain in my Achilles, which was deemed to be ruptured. This morning, I'm assuming that's Carlton Stuckin of Hospital for Special Surgery in West Palm Beach, Florida, performed a minimally invasive Achilles tendon repair for a ruptured tendon. Quote, the surgery went smoothly, and we now expect a full recovery, added Dr. Stuckin. I'm back home now and plan to focus on my recovery and rehab. Thank you for all your support. So, number one, this doesn't feel like the full-blown Achilles tear, right? By the way, how many body parts has... Let's see. We got a fused back, God knows how many knees, ankle... He once famously popped a bone back into his wrist, so he claims. Really? I had a feeling this was coming. If you've been listening to Tiger talking recently...
Didn't he tear his ACL and win the U.S. Open?
Yes, and I believe there was also... he had a fractured leg as well.
Was it broken leg or torn ACL? I can't remember.
It was both.
Didn't he also have a hip issue?
I would just assume hip was always related to the back. I mean, his back is fused.
Yeah.
I mean, this was the other thing.
Look, Tiger Woods is, and maybe, you know, golf enthusiasts will get mad at me, he's the most important person ever to play golf.
Oh, to me, it was the whole, because at first when I first watched the TGL, I was like, what is the point of this? And then you realized a week later when Tiger played, you're like, oh yeah, this is just another chance to see Tiger.
I think it's time for Tiger to call it a career. Like, we love you, Tiger. Lace it up every April until you're 60-something. I want you to play the Masters, but, dude, your body is telling you it's over. It's over, man.
I think to a certain degree, though, that is kind of what he's doing.
I mean, and look, I think I never thought he would win another major, and when he won the Masters in 19, that was incredible. And it was just kind of like he's not going to catch Jack for the majors, but he won one final Masters, his favorite tournament. And I'm not saying he should have walked off into the sunset there, but like it's over, man.
One of my favorite golf personalities thought, instead of tapping it in, he should have just raked it and walked off and said, "See, I like proving he can do it." And he's like, "Now the whole sport has to figure it out without me." That would have been amazing. But I mean, I kind of think that's what he is doing. I mean, like you look at his schedule. He's playing a little on the indoor golf circuit. But, I mean, he pretty much is doing that. He's not even playing his own tournaments anymore.
Yeah. He's just so...
And he never struck me as the guy that was going to go and slap it around on the senior tour.
No,
trying
not
to
happening.
Collect titles.
No. He'll just be kind of the ambassador of the game. And I think he's... You know, it's funny because... He had a lot of Jordan in him, in that like he was just this ultimate competitor. The red on Sunday, the don't talk to me kind of laser focus. But you could see as his career went on, like he had no friends right early on, and like now people love him on the tour. Like,
yeah,
he jokes around with dudes. Like he's, I think he's still, you know, competitive to an extent. But even you would hear it in his press conferences, like.
I think
he knew it wasn't there anymore.
I think the problem was what he knew when you listen to him is, I think the competitive spirit was still there. Like, I think he is still an intense competitor. The problem was because his body was failing him, he could hit good shots, but he couldn't put together, like, he was never sharp because he wasn't practicing. So, like, the short game was always a little off. Like, his putts didn't ever have the right speed. Like, it was just the things that show up when you don't play, that was what was showing up. I still think he had the competition. That's also kind of why, like, I think that he doesn't try to, like, fight and play as long as possible, because I think he knows, like, if he can't win, it seemed to me he was always more addicted to winning than he was to golf. Whereas I think, like, Phil was addicted to golf, not necessarily winning.
Yeah, and it's interesting that Phil... has had more
longevity, at least.
Yeah, longevity, consistent success than Tiger. But Tiger's had a longer
career.
Yeah, Tiger's body's just failing him now.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows how much of it also is like, you know, Tiger training to be a U.S. you know, a U.S. Marine, like the kill house. And I mean, that was the other thing my buddy was asking. We were watching the TGL. He's like, how many painkillers do you think he's on just to get through this? But like, to your point, it's like once upon a time when Tiger's like the evil machine, it's like we can't wait to crucify him. But then like when we saw what golf was like without Tiger, and then this one will always stick with me. That last car wreck has a lot of question marks.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's like, shut up, don't say anything. Shut up. Like, he's like, Tiger's back. Like, we're going to figure this out. We're going to get through it. Everybody's like, it was like all arms on deck, all hands on deck. We are doing whatever we can to protect Tiger. Whereas, like, once upon a time, it was like, we couldn't wait to just have, like, everybody, like, take him out. It's like, once we saw what the sport was like without him, like, we can't have this again. Feels like... I don't think we're seeing him this year. Again, I have no idea. Like,
no.
It didn't sound like it was the full Achilles tear, but it's like, okay. I still just need to see, like, I want to see, like, the operation human, like, how many, like, give me the graphic of, like, how many injuries he's had. It has to be, like, 30 at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Highly sure. Insane. March Madness. All right, Tim. I don't think we got any surprises, but we got our regional and national announced teams for CBS, Turner. Everybody's got to figure out right now where True TV is. Like, this is the week to get in shape. All right, our lead broadcast team, Ian Eagle, Bill Raftery, Grant Hill, Tracy Wolfson, sideline. I think it's been that. When did Nance step away? 2 years ago?
He didn't. Last year was his first.
Not doing it,
correct? Yeah.
So Nance's season will just begin at the Masters without Tiger. All right.
Hello, friends.
I'm not sure if this is the B team or the. I don't know if it matters, but the next two biggest teams are Brian Anderson, Jim Jackson, Allie LaForce.
I really like that team.
This is my favorite team.
Harlan, Dan Bonner, Stan Van Gundy, Lauren Shahadi.
Harlan's awesome.
Harlan's the best. SVG's great with him.
I do. There's something about BA. I really like Brian Anderson. I think the three of them have a really good rapport. I think LaForce is very good. But yeah, I Harlan is just, I mean, Harlan's elite.
I think BA is the ultimate like pro. But there's something about if Harlan's on the call, I feel like the game's a little bigger than if BA's on the call.
I think that's fair.
All right, then the remaining crews, Andrew Catalan, Steve Lapis, Evan Washburn. Evan Washburn, this is always my time to remind everyone. I want to know what, let's see, Evan works probably 16 NFL weeks, maybe 17, and then I feel like I see him here. What does Evan do 300 days of the year? He has to have the greatest gig in the world. Like, if Evan is not a scratch golfer, what is he doing?
He's a handsome fellow, too.
I believe he's also a lax player.
Yeah, I think he lives in Maryland, so I think he does. I see him on, like, random lacrosse broadcasts.
Evan better be very good at golf. All right, then our next team that includes an addition, we have Lisa Byington, Robbie Hummel, Jalen Rose, Andy Katz. I don't know if this is just me or everything, or everyone. How many Robbie Hummel broadcasts have you listened to recently?
I feel like he does them all.
Okay, he's good.
He's very good.
If I don't like pay attention, I swear to God, he's like doing the Jay Billis impression. Like, if you listen to him now, his cadence, everything, it's like, it sounds like he's talking like Billis. And now, to your point, he's everywhere, so there's like plenty of opportunities. But maybe that is completely me. Jalen Rose, though, is making his return to broadcasting. He will be with that team.
When was
he was the big announcement today?
Okay. And Jalen Rose,
he was
did
last
he do games or did he do? He did studio for ESPN.
He
right?
mostly did studio. He would occasionally do games, but he was mostly studio. And then when they revamped that whole operation, he was let go. And I think he's been sitting it out because he had a contract. So if he went and took another gig, he wouldn't get the ESPN money. And I'm presuming no one was going to offer him the ESPN money. So he wrote out that contract. And I think now, George, look this up. I think he's going to be part of the NBC broadcast when the NBC gets the NBA.
Rose?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I know NBC has announced.
He is.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Reggie Miller is going to be on NBC. Mike Tirico's the main voice. I'm imagining Noah Eagle's going to do stuff.
He is. I think Noah's the lead until football season ends.
Because they do. So it is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday on Peacock. And then once football season ends, they're going to do like Sunday night hoops.
Yeah, I think they're trying to do like Sunday night in America. They're going to keep that going. Or basketball night in America. Then we got Spiro Dedis, Jim Spernunkle, and John Rothstein. I just miss one of my favorite tag teams ever when they took Dan Fouts off NFL. The Bird and the Beard was one of my favorite duos. Like, you could see it. You were watching the noon seventh game on CBS, and you just had Bird and Fouts, and it was Spiro and Fouts. It was always there for me. Then we have Tom McCarthy, Deb Antonelli, Steve Smith, AJ Ross. And then the last crew is Brad Nessler, Brendan Haywood, Dana Jacobson, and then Gene Steratore will be our rules analyst. Has anyone won the rules analyst game quite like Steratore? Because I feel like everyone else, there's been nitpicks, but it feels like Steratore, whether it's football or basketball, everyone just kind of blindly trusts him.
I think because he did it all. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't make sense.
But no, I mean, I will say this, he was the guy, he was an NFL ref, and he never stopped calling college basketball.
I know, you'd see him calling like a Tuesday night Big Ten game. You're like, wait, weren't you just in Kansas City?
Heck, man, half the time you'd see him doing like some random game in Pennsylvania that was like, you were following along on stat broadcast.
Dude, respect, man. Yeah. Respect. Is this the first tournament without Gumbel?
I believe so, right? We lost him in, was it fall?
I think so. Norlander put together on the Eye on College Basketball podcast, Matt Norlander put together like a supercut of Gumbel announcing all the teams on Selection Sunday. That's going to be a bit of a shock on Selection Sunday, not to hear that voice, you know? I mean, that was a voice of childhood for me, you know, when it was just CBS.
Have they announced
right?
Who?
I'm assuming it's Zucker?
Well, so I was wondering, because they also announced the studio commentators are Ernie, Adam Lefkoe, and Adam Zucker.
Zucker's been doing CBS all year.
So I guess it has to be him.
And then Ernie will do it on...
All the Turner stuff will be Ernie.
And then Lefkoe will be on the Turner channels as well. Actually, yeah, he might do like the late night 2 a.m. True TV recap show. Which actually is usually a pretty good show.
Then our studio analysts, Clark Kellogg, Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, Candace Parker, Jay Wright, Seth Davis, Wally Zerbiak. Has Wally been on this? Like, I know he's been doing CBS Sports Network, but and Jamie Aridal will do game updates.
So is she going to do the cut-ins?
Yes. I think she did that last year, too.
Did she? Okay.
Yeah. So we have our announced teams. It's always kind of the...
Nothing too different. A lot of the same.
I feel like CBS doesn't really mix it up very much.
Nah.
Let's go with, speaking of Matt Norlander, the 25 biggest stars of college basketball. All right, so over at CBS Sports, Matt Norlander and crew have compiled a list of the biggest stars. And so this is not the best players. Quoting Matt, I'm not talking pure star power. I'm talking pure star power, can't take your eyes off them, cosmetic appeal. There is no one definition for what constitutes a star. We all know it when we see it. These are the college basketball players who broke through the most and ultimately transcended college basketball. He did have the qualification. If you're currently active in college ball, you're not eligible. So therefore, Cooper Flagg, not part of this. Number 25, Blake Griffin.
I remember Blake and his brother. And I think sometimes their NBA careers kind of creep into blur the lines a little bit. Because he's a player that was explosive in college, but I felt like the dunks that he threw down in Los Angeles from Chris Paul, to me, kind of creep into, well, he had to have been doing this in college. And he was to an extent, but I don't think he was, I don't have a problem with him being 25th, but I think that's probably accurate.
Okay, so I was fine. We all kind of, it's funny, like Memphis had a soft spot for Blake Griffin during that draft because the Grizzlies were like clearly tanking to get Blake Griffin, and then he goes to the Clippers, and that's like honestly probably the Grizzlies' biggest rival, like that Lob City, and everyone hated Blake Griffin, but there was always that weird push and pull. 24, Marshall Henderson.
Wow.
I mean,
he's a polarizing dude,
but he was must watch. Man, when you give AK a guard that could shoot and you give him the green light, it was just always must watch. 23, Michael Beasley. I'm just here to tell people, Michael Beasley was a big deal in college basketball. Like, I know his career went a certain way, but when he was in college basketball, he was a big deal.
Have I told the story that I played against him in high school?
I thought you said, was Beasley the guy that you thought your coach ducked?
No.
And then you did the math?
Or that was Durant.
Okay.
So Durant's high school was a school called Montrose Christian, and my senior year was Kevin Durant's junior year, but I went and looked back, and Kevin Durant was at Oak Hill his junior year. My senior year was Michael Beasley's sophomore year, and he played at a school called Riverdale Baptist, and they weren't nationally ranked because the USA Today refused to rank him because Michael Beasley was homeschooled and they paid a fee so he could play for the high school.
Love that.
So we played him in this tournament. It was the second to last game of my high school career, and we played Riverdale Baptist. We lost, I think it was 95-38.
Okay.
Something like that.
How many did he go for?
I think he went for like 20, and then, I mean, he didn't play the whole game. Two quick stories about Beasley. So he guarded me, and we ran a play, just your typical pick and pop, and that was, so I would set the screen, and then I would pop for a three, and So our point guard runs it off my shoulder, kicks it to me. I pump fake. Beasley flies by. And I'm like, sweet, wide open three. And as I rise up, he is back.
Yep, that's a different speed.
And I'm like, wait, what? And he doesn't even block the shot. This is, it wasn't even disrespectful. It was just like, come on, buddy. He just caught the ball. He didn't block it.
Yeah, he just took it from me.
And then I didn't even chase him. I'm like, all right. I think he missed the dunk. I'm pretty sure he tried like a windmill from the free throw line. And then after the game, we're walking off the court, and my brother was there. And he's like, hey, I just want to tell you something. Before the game, Beasley sat in the stands and ate Skittles.
Mm-hmm.
And then came out, took two half-court shots, and then played the game.
Yeah.
Well, we're running through our warm-ups, getting a sweat. And Beasley's just like, okay, yeah, we're going to go out and... Actually, while you sit there, I'm going to see if I could find the actual score for the game. I had somewhere in here.
All right, this was the first one I thought was maybe a little high, but the accolades, he was a deserving player, Frank Kaminsky. 21, Jameer Nelson. Nelson falls into the same category as Michael Beasley for me. It's like that St. Joe's team, if you weren't alive and watched, like they took over college basketball. And then the other thing I always just think about is how some St. Joe's booster thought they could do better than Phil Martelli. How's that going for y'all? St. Joe's right back on the cusp, all of that. 20, Lonzo Ball. 19,
that seems high.
He was a pretty big... I remember when they did... that. We had one of these awesome regional finals that I covered. We had UCLA, Kentucky... Was it Xavier in North Carolina? Kentucky, North Carolina was the final, and that was the Luke May shot, not Drake May, older brother. That was an awesome one. John Wall was a phenom. I mean, the yep. dance, everything. Zach Edey. Felt like 18 was a little low.
I would say, I mean, he's a two-time player of the year, wasn't he?
And he was also, like, everyone talked, like, I just felt like he dominated the conversation of the sport. Greg Oden at 17. Trey Young at 16. Jalen Brunson at 15. That feels very high to me. And I think Jalen Brunson's a great player, but it's just like, I don't know. That felt very high. Because
those Villanova teams.
They blended together.
Yeah, I would agree with that. By the way, 97-38.
Okay.
Final score against the Michael Beasley led. I had 12-10, though. So
hey, there you go.
Had that going for me.
Quiet double double. And especially when you consider y'all scored how many points? 37?
37. Yeah.
37. I mean, listen, that's a lot of production.
38. Yeah, I don't want to shortchange it.
Well, a lot of production. 14, Doug McBuckets. Same thing. McBuckets falls into that category for me. It's like he was just a part of the conversation at all times. Like, that's fitting. Emeka Okafor at 13. Grayson Allen at 12. Anthony Davis, 11. Kemba Walker, 10. Jimmer Fredette, 9.
Is Kemba Walker, I mean, he's just there because of
the one tournament.
Yeah.
The tournament was unreal.
I mean, that's one of the most incredible runs from the Big East tournament to the national championship. He just took a team and put him on his back.
9 was Jimmer. Jimmer Mania was a real deal. Steph Curry, 8.
That could be higher.
Yeah, I mean.
That run that he had.
It was insane.
It was ridiculous.
Joakim Noah, 7. Durant, 6.
I would put Curry higher than Durant.
I'm fine with this one at 5. Melo.
Oh yeah.
That same thing. That run.
That run was insane.
4. Adam Morrison. And I also wonder with Adam, if Adam doesn't cry, is he number 4?
Ooh, but that is. I mean, that's.
I mean,
part of it.
3, J.J. Redick. 2, Tyler Hansborough. That was a career lifetime achievement. And then 1, Zion Williamson. I mean, Zion is in a different category. Literally, CBS had the Zion cam. I cannot remember that for any other player.
I mean, Barack Obama went to his final home game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and that was, you know, I went to Zion. They lost. Oh, my God. That elite, like Coach K, that I can sense from the way you make fun of him.
Coach USA, please have some respect for that man.
The fact that team didn't go to the Final Four
was delicious
is should be a massive mark.
Do you realize what an honor it was to have Izzo in the money line that day?
I was at that game.
Oh,
I think I might have. I think I have some videos. I should send them to you from. I was on the court for that post game. So that was the East Regional. It was in D.C. and the Sweet 16 was Duke Virginia Tech, and a buddy of mine, actually he used to be in Memphis, whose name is now escaping me.
Super helpful.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm completely blanking right now.
You were able to find your stat sheet from 2005, but you can't remember somebody that you worked with?
I didn't work with him. He used to live in Memphis. He used to write for the Memphis newspaper.
The Commercial Appeal?
Yeah. But regardless, he was working
Walken?
He was working for the AP, no. And he had an empty seat next to him, and I sat courtside for that Duke-Virginia Tech game, and Zion had just one of the most outrageous dunks I've ever seen, just from pure athleticism. I mean, he was a spectacle, man. And he's the point and the reason that I've said that college basketball was never going away, because at the time, he wasn't getting paid, technically.
Uh-huh, sure.
Magically, his family got a house down there in Durham. But I was like, if you go to the G League, you just kind of fade into oblivion. Like, Zion was the biggest thing. I don't know if he was the biggest thing in sports, but he was up there, man.
I mean, there was an argument he was the most famous athlete in basketball that wasn't in the NBA.
I mean, he was huge, yeah.
I mean, I just remember, because that's the Zion Ja draft, and the way that the lottery worked, we knew the Grizzlies were either going to be one or two, and for like a split second, you were thinking, okay, Zion could be a Grizzly, but like at that point, it's like once they got to two, it's like I didn't care, because either Ja or Zion, I was like, sweet. But that's the scene of when they announced the Grizzlies at two, the draft lottery cameras.
Tom Shad.
Oh, Tom Shad's a great dude.
Yeah, that's my guy. Yeah.
Yeah, Tom Shad. Yeah, I think he's with USA Today.
Ah, USA.
Yeah, I think he's with USA. Yeah, Tom's good dude. Covered Tiger football.
Yeah.
Okay. Quickly, NFL free agency. I can't believe I'm saying this. I love football as much as anything on this earth, not family. Free agency was too much for me. It was the, you know what it was? It's the, I just think everything now is just brokered information. When you're just reading 55,000 tweets about what agent negotiated a contract, I don't care.
What's going on with the Niners, man?
I mean, it feels like they're clearing salary. I think also they knew they had too much money tied up into certain positions, but I think if you're someone out there that thinks they're not paying Brock Purdy, it feels like to me like they're clearing out the way to pay Brock Purdy.
Sure are. Is this not going to have anyone to throw the football to?
Well, I think like they believe in Pearsall. Debo, I think Debo is kind of a problem this year. And I think they think Ayuk will be back. Like, I mean, this is just kind of the thing. It's like, that's what I always wonder. It's like, sometimes when you think you get there, you're like, we'll be back. Man, it's like sometimes, man, you had a cheap quarterback. You had the ability to pay a lot of guys. It's why I give the Commanders credit, man.
Going all in.
They're not wasting a second. Now, the thing that I'm the most interested in is, did the Texans just decide when the Chiefs absolutely dominated their offensive line, like all five of you are just gone? Because, like, Tunsil got a pretty good return, but, like, they have no offensive line right now.
And didn't they just trade a guard away for C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
For C.J. Gardner-Johnson, yeah.
Which I think that's a fine pickup. I think it's always good to shore up your back end, but is C.J. Stroud just going to do it on his own?
Well, I mean, it's like, are your backups going to be better? Like, I don't
doubt.
I mean, they have like three picks in the top 100. Are they all just going to be offensive line?
Unless they get someone into the, like a pick into the top 10, I I know there's a lot of depth at the position this year, but your big makers are up there.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the college hoops slate. We've already had one just outrageous ending that Tim has talked about. I got something I want to bring up with him on that. We'll do that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 99 FM. Yes.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tim, as we have some conference tournaments winding up tonight, we also have some beginning. You and I need to commiserate in what the alma mater did to both of us last night. Tim, last night, had Pepperdine team total 58.5.
Correct.
He had under 58.5. It was going to be the Waves' fourth game in 4 days, and it showed. I, however, jumped in at the half and took St. Mary's -7.5. So I needed St. Mary's to win by 18 to win. St. Mary's gets up 30 with about 6 minutes to go. And I text Tim verbatim, Bennett better not put the scrubs in.
Oh, did he ever.
And he had his son on the floor. He had kids that... I mean, it was the ultimate.
Had a ginger out there.
Correct, like a ginger and his son, not even the same guy. Yeah. Although I'll give his
we
son
had a son and a ginger.
His son actually made a sick pass that led to a layup, but it's coming down the stretch. St. Mary's is up 24. They promptly give up an offensive rebound, another offensive rebound, corner three, bang, 21. Then they get called for an offensive foul. They have two possessions. No, an offensive foul. Then they had a kid just run out of bounds. Then they gave up multiple layups to the tune of 59 points and did not cover either line. So the team total completely busted, and that thing was sitting at, I think, 40 with like 5 minutes to go. And
they were stuck on 40. Your alma mater was stuck on 40 for about 4 minutes. And I see the scrubs come in, and I'm like, oh, this is not good. Because the
you knew it too.
Here's the problem. Twofold. They're scrubs. And secondly, they're getting an opportunity on ESPN to play in the WCC semifinals. They're going to be pulling. They're trying to score. And the one that really that got me was under a minute to go, Pepperdine misses a jumper
yep.
inside the arc, right? So at this point, it's 74-54, and I'm like, all right, if they just avoid hitting a three, I should be okay doing the math.
Yes.
They miss a two, they get the offensive rebound.
They missed another two and then got the offensive rebound.
Then they kick yep. to the corner, and I'm like, well, yep. this three is definitely going in.
And it was dead center.
100% nailed it. And then St. Mary's comes down. And once again, here's the problem. When you've got the scrubs in, and I could call them scrubs because I was a scrub, and I wanted to do this too when I played at a low-level D3 school. Like, you want to get your buckets. So they get down. They put up a J. They miss. They get the offensive rebound, and at that point is where hope starts to sink in. I'm like, oh, my God. They got the offensive rebound.
Kick it
they're
out.
They're just going to run out the clock. They kick it out, and I think it was the ginger just fires a three. And I'm like, no!
I kind of need that to go.
And then they race it down, and they don't... And to make the pain of this beat worse was that they did it at the free throw line.
Yep.
They go to the free throw line, and I'm like, of course he's going to make both. He could have been the worst free throw shooter on earth. He was going to make both of those free throws, and he did. And I'm just sitting there like, wow, that was as brutal as it comes from both a point spread and a team total standpoint. So, yeah, the beauty of gambling.
Speaking of other bad college basketball games from last night, all right.
You better not bring up Wofford-Furman because that game was awesome.
No, it was a great basketball game. But we got to have a conversation about the granny shot guy. Because here's my deal.
What's his name, Fletcher?
No, it's like Eric, like something like Wickfile or something like that.
No, it's Kyler. Filewich.
Filewich. There we go. I think I had the right syllables in there just in the, like, I think I did an ambigram.
He's from Manitoba.
Yeah, he is Canadian. You're a 32% free throw shooter. Why are you shooting granny shot? Like, it's one thing when Rick Barry goes, I can make everyone a 90% free throw shooter. That's fine. But your dignity has to be worth something. And then you look at his numbers. He used to be a 50% free throw shooter when he wasn't shooting granny. Like, I used to think, like, if you shot granny style, it's like, it's self-selective. I was like, well, he's going to be a great free throw shooter. It's like, well, yeah, because if you're doing that, it better work. Anyone else that's doing, like, if it doesn't work, you're just abandoning it. I literally just started talking myself into it. I think it's like, now you do it, like, it's a brand. Like, we've talked about him more than he'll be talked about in the rest of his life.
Look, as someone who set the school record in college for worst single season free throw percentage, that's a fact, you can look it up. I feel for my brother, and... you know, he went 3 of 7 last night, so he went north of where he normally shoots. So, well done, and I hope you're not the reason. No, Wofford is dancing. They won that game.
Yeah, Wofford's dancing.
That game was awesome, man. That game was fun.
That also brings up one of the great comp assaults. Like most things in my life, like I had a pretty throwing motion, I had a pretty shooting motion, I had a pretty swing. There was nothing more insulting than, like, you go to the line and the official will say, like, I can't believe you missed that. Like all of a sudden, like, because the point being is, like, you look like you can shoot, but you can't.
Yeah, that was I've always talked about it. People were like, were you always a terrible free throw shooter? I'm like, no, I was actually a pretty decent free throw shooter in high school.
I think it's an argument. It is the most mental thing in all of sports, because literally in every gym, now that we don't play on aircraft carriers anymore, it's climate controlled. It's always 15 feet. The basket's 10.
There's a nail in the middle of the free throw
Correct.
Line to tell you how to line up yourself.
Right.
Like, it's on you.
Correct.
And it was on me. And I once, and it's not, I mean, this is still one of the more, I don't know how this happened in my college career. Because in high school, I shot probably like upper 60s, low 70s. Not great, but not terrible. And it wasn't like I was playing in front of big crowds.
Right.
You know, let's play.
No, it's not like the pressure.
It's like 73 people there at a college, Division III college basketball game. I just don't know what the hell it was. I mean, it like you said, it's all mental.
I just think it's to quote Shane Falco, it's like you're in quicksand. It's not like the external pressure. It's the you miss and miss, and you start thinking, like pressing harder and harder and harder. Like, I think free throws are definitely that, because it's always the constraints are always the same. All right. Are we taking Gonzaga tonight? Oh, you have, never mind, you have them to win, so you already have them. You have them to win,
I do. Yeah, so Gonzaga, I mean, look.
They can't get beat three times, right?
It's in the Geneva Convention.
Yeah.
You cannot get beat three times in a season by the same team. So I want to real quickly, before we get to the Gonzaga game, I do want to, and I think the game has started, and it's a fascinating game just for what I deem the stink theory.
Mm-hmm.
A team by the name of Utah Tech,
uh-huh,
once upon a time was Dixie State.
Yeah, I think they might have smartly changed that one.
Yeah. Located in St. George, Utah.
Which was the biggest upset of all time. Dixie State was in St. George, Utah.
Yeah, it was not in the South.
Correct.
They are now Utah Tech. They are riding a 14-game losing streak heading into the WAC tournament. In the middle of that 14-game losing streak were two losses to Southern Utah. They're playing Southern Utah today, and they're a 5-point favorite.
Yeah, it just tipped.
I had to. Just, this is the ultimate stink theory game. So I had to play Utah Tech. 14-game losing streak.
Is that even on television?
Probably not. It's probably on E-plus somewhere. But back to the game that actually matters, Gonzaga and St. Mary's. I mean, Gonzaga's lost three straight games to St. Mary's because they lost last year in the WCC final, a game I attended, and then they lost both games this year, including the one at the Kennel where they kind of got their butt kicked.
No, I mean, I can't remember. Somebody was saying on the broadcast, like, the last time it had maybe never been done where Gonzaga lost the conference at home. Like someone
yet,
beat them to clinch at home.
And yet they're a 3.5-point favorite today. Makes you go, and doesn't it?
Yeah, but what are you seeing split wise? Because everyone
pulling it up now.
Everyone I think's on St. Mary's.
No, that's what I'm saying. We should be on Gonzaga.
Right, but at the same time, like, I know exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to watch Gonzaga just
61% of bets on St. Mary's at DraftKings.
And I'm also worried that I'm now spite betting against St. Mary's. Because I don't like St. Mary's is like the St. Mary's in that conference is like the school that has a bunch of institutional arrogance for no reason. They're like, at least with Gonzaga, you kind of have a begrudging respect, but like with St. Mary's, like I never liked them. Like, it didn't matter the sport. No, thank you. And I'm worried that this is kind of like betting with my heart. Who did
I'm
I have?
On, I'm
I had
on
someone else earlier this week where I was like, oh yeah, Pepperdine. They lost to Portland twice. Didn't get them that third time.
Yeah, your boys, the Waves, man. They let you down in the postseason here.
And that's the thing. If they would have played like that during the season, it would have been fairly likable. They didn't. It was almost like they were playing like it was like they had to bet on themselves every game. They're playing like their lives, their NIL dependent on it. If we even have NIL, which I doubt, considering our roster. Anything else eyeing you tonight?
So just to run through it real quickly, we got a couple, so three tickets will be punched tonight. We've got the CAA, which is no longer the Colonial Athletic Conference. It is now the Coastal Athletic Association. This is a
12
seed.
That was one of the more dumb, like Dixie State. All right, fine, I can give up. That one was one of the dumbest ones I've ever heard.
Yeah. Also, George Washington is now like the revolutionaries or something like that.
Nice job.
All right, whatever. Delaware's the 12 seed, and they have won 4 games in 4 days. They entered the CAA conference tournament losers of 11 of 12. And they just beat the 1 seed in this conference last night in Towson. So that's tonight at 6 o'clock Central. Then we've got the Horizon League, where the Oakland Grizzlies, shouts to Jack Golke from a year ago, blew the lead late. Robert Morris got the win. They're the 1 seed in that conference. I believe Youngstown State has never made the NCAA tournament. That is who they're playing today. Let me double check that. I always enjoy newbies. We had, SIUE, Southern Illinois, Edwardsville. They're a newbie. Omaha, newbie. And High Point, all newbies this year in the NCAA tournament.
So Youngstown State's made the D2 tournament. They've never made the...
Okay.
They won the league last year, but didn't win the tournament.
So we got that. Then we also have Gonzaga and St. Mary's, as we mentioned. Will Wade, probably in his final days as the head coach of McNeese State. They embark in the Southland Conference. That's the semifinals. And, we get another bid tonight. Central Connecticut versus St. Francis. The Blue Devils are a pretty significant favorite in the NEC. And Central Connecticut, maybe a 16 or 15, somewhere in that ballpark. So 4 total tickets punched tonight. And then a bunch of the scrubs from the power conferences get to play, including what might be Leonard Hamilton's final game as a head coach. Florida State hosting or taking on Syracuse. Bobby Hurley, his final game maybe as the head coach of Arizona State.
It feels like both are ending. It's whenever they play that final game.
Hamilton is done. Like, yes, he is out
for sure. But I think
they already named his successor, I believe.
And I think Hurley's gonna have the problem if they fired the women's coach, and then if they don't fire him, like you kind of have to fire both because they're both just been so
equal
bad.
Opportunity firings.
There you go. All right, let's hit the music. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. I think I got to go to Brett Yormark, who must have just been absolutely cooking today. We mentioned the basketball floor, and he said he was nothing but excited about it because, quote, we wanted to make a profound statement. With your floor?
I looked it up. It's terrible.
It's awful.
It's so bad.
Disgusting.
Like you can't. You can't even watch the game. It's distracting. It makes you not want to watch the game.
I put it in the same vein as the NBA Cup floor.
Well, I mean, it's in the same vein though. Is literally pun intended as the Memphis penis floor.
Yeah. It's awful.
Yeah. All right, my man. Well, how about you Friday?
All right, man. See you, dude.
That is Tim Murray, of course, of VSiN. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, I'm Julia Brufke-Wanger, founder of Phoenix Tax Consultants, home of the Tax Tacklers. It's tax season, and I genuinely understand the complications and frustrations that go into preparing to file. I believe that taxes should not be a do-it-yourself activity. You should leave it to the professionals. My team of next-level tax experts can help you find a new way to do your taxes and a strategy to get top results. Schedule your virtual or in-person appointment today at TaxTacklers.com.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.